When I realized that I wanted to do a video on the tools that I just didn't like and needed to throw away, I realized that in most cases I had already thrown them away. But I sorted through here enough to figure out here are some examples of some tools that either still need to be upgraded or have been upgraded, and why the upgrades now increase my satisfaction in the work that I have to do. So acknowledging that, you know, life is too short to work with poor tools, if you can get around it, even though a poor tool is better than no tool at all, a lot of the differences between a tool that I love and the tool that I hate are entirely subjective, and maybe it's that way for you. So in the comments, please put it in there, however you can, something about a specific tool or a class of tools or the tools that you use at your work that makes you love them that maybe wouldn't appeal to anyone else or maybe the rest of us can't even understand. But it's the subjectivity and what connects us with our tools that I think is a big part of why we love them so much. But in any case, I've got here a pile of stuff. And I want to start with the tool that I don't know why it's still on the property because I truly hate it. I truly hate it. Maybe it's because it reminds me of my past processing 16 cords of firewood for my dad every year, and he brought home a monster maul because he was tired of me breaking the handles out of splitting mauls. Who can blame him for that? I never broke this handle and I never bent it. It's because I never used it. The balance is all wrong. The handle length is all short. And the center of mass is so far above the pivot point that when you hit, it wants to spin over. And no, that doesn't help me split the wood. So for the record, just so my descendants know, I hated a monster maul. Now let me show you, there are other ways to go, but the classiest alternative was sent to me by Buckin' Billy Ray Smith. He sent me a Buckin' Special, which is a 6-pound splitting maul head on an axe eye configuration. You see that oval axe eye configuration with a great big knob of a fawn's foot at the bottom, and it is sharp. Unlike the splitting mauls I grew up with, this is sharp. It's a great tool. Buckin', if this was 4 inches longer, it would be a better tool. But I'm just pleased, and I'm proud as punch to have not one, but two splitting implements that were sent to me by Buckin' Billy Ray Smith. He's got a splitting axe over there that he sent to me that he's pioneered. I'll show you that sometime. None of the rest of these are hated, but I look with disdain on a few. I never did enjoy these. And I know that if you're in the upholstery business or a lot of other businesses, you got to be able to shoot a staple. But in construction, it's a hammer tacker that does it. And I don't think I had been in the trade 4 months before I saw Steve Hood pull out a hammer tacker and just spank putting the tar paper down on the roof. And I thought, wow, I'm glad I didn't get my dad's staple gun out of the truck. I mean, tools are time-honored. They've been around for a long time. And not many have been around longer than a crowbar. You've probably heard them called a rooster bar. Now, I don't know if that's connected to the crow or the fact that so many times when you stick that onto a nail and pull it, it squeaks as it comes out. It sounds like a rooster crowing. But in this age of fully developed pry bars and crowbars, you don't need to have a crowbar anymore. I mean, there's all kinds of Gorilla bars and Wonder bars, and it's just better. I mean, it's the same thing improved. So think hard about your attachments to your granddad's rooster bar and maybe put it on the mantle because they are beautiful. If you're a blacksmith, forge it into something useful because it's high carbon steel and it's really good material. And I don't need to get it out because a Burke bar is so much bigger than a crowbar that you would say, well, it's too big. But there are many, many other little pry bars and crowbars that surpass the old rooster bars in so many ways, so you don't need to keep it anymore. Buy a forge, get an anvil, turn it into something cool. Okay, back to framing. And I'm not here to brag about the utility of a speed square because everybody knows how great a speed square is. And everybody should know how great a Rufus is. They are an upgrade, I've talked about that, and we'll, you know, you can check that out on the channel. Rufus is a great tool. But when I was in Las Vegas, I thought, well, however good a speed square is, and since I'm cutting a few roofs, I'm going to get a big speed square. Okay. Problem is, it's big. You can't really carry it up onto the roof. And every time I ever dropped this, it landed out here, and the magnesium or the aluminum or whatever it is chipped off the end. I don't think I've used this half a dozen times, and I don't think I've enjoyed using it twice. So there are so many other, including the immortal steel square. It's absolutely a go-to tool. It's never going to be obviated. There are a lot of different adaptations that reduce it in size and increase it in convenience. You got a big square, you got a variety of small squares. For my money, I don't need this clunker of a speed square. So this thing, in my humble opinion, wins the award for the ugliest, most unwieldy, and least useful hammer I've ever held in my hand. Now, if you've got one that's worse, let me know. And I'm not just talking about whether or not it's ugly, because here's an ugly little hammer, just as basic as a hammer can be. And it is one of the sweetest feeling little hammers I've ever picked up. It's a function of the length of the handle, the swell on the end of that hammer handle, and just, so I'm not judging this on appearance. It's a bad habit of mine to do that. But I'm not judging this hammer on appearance, nor am I judging this hammer solely on appearance, but something this ugly doesn't deserve to exist. So if you've got an ugly hammer that you never use, will you please get rid of it, because it just gives hammers generally a bad name. So these last four tools, two items, it's kind of a first world problem to complain about anything on the table right now. Irwin Auger Bit Company, Wilmington, Ohio, USA. These are classic. They're reliable workhorses. I have snapped miles of chalk line with this chalk box and others just like it. But as I look at this languishing in my tool bag, I think, you know, I probably ought to give this to somebody that's newly married and a little tool kit. I do that once in a while. I set up a little tool kit for a young guy newly married because he's going to need it. So I'm probably going to give that to the next young man who finds a wonderful young woman and makes that wonderful foundational element of society a family, starts on that worthwhile quest. I'll probably give that to one of those guys, because since Nathaniel gave me this Tajima, I just can't see myself using anything else. Is it a luxury? Is it lavish? Is it? Yeah, maybe. But this beats that every day. So, my old friend, thanks a million. Early retirement. And going to put this guy to work every day. All right, the last item in this exhaustive and depressing list is slip joint pliers. And I got this. Actually, I think Neil Groves gave me these. And these were in my dad's toolbox. They're Craftsman slip joint pliers, and they're great. And until Nipex came along, everybody would have thought that these were perfectly presentable tools, and they are. They will do the work, but they will not do the work as well as Nipex. So here's my beef with slip joint pliers, even good ones. Sometimes they kind of lock up. Sometimes they kind of lock up right there, right? I mean, you can always get them in there, you can always do the work, and you can always squeeze down, and sometimes they're just perfect at whatever scale, you know. I mean, you know, they just sometimes are a little clunky, and it's hard to get a parallel grip. That, see, it's locked up. They're great, but they're not as great as these. These things change so easily and can slip easily into exactly the space that is required, and you can see the entire juncture of the joint that's forming. It's not a plier that has the two operating sides and that's it. This bottom jaw penetrates. You see that? It penetrates. That's a much stronger connection. It takes out a lot of the wobbling, and that the configuration of those jaws gives you a lot of different ways to get a hold of something, including a hex nut or the end of a pipe fitting or something. So I don't know. It's just, they have enough weight back here to keep from, you know, I don't know. I can't explain every nuance, but I can tell you this. When you pick up a pair of Nipex, you have to force yourself to pick up a pair of regular slip joint pliers. So if you don't want to spend the money for it, tell your family you want this in your Christmas stocking. Let them know when your birthday is. This is the only size of these that I've got, but I think I'm going to gear up and get a big set, because I guess just like so many things in the modern world, as people have bright ideas and implement them, our work lives get better if we're able to afford the tooling. But if you're not, here's the big deal, if you're not, it's a poor workman that blames his tools. Because any tool in the hands of someone who intends to do a good job will produce good work. And that's the key, isn't it? That when you show up to use the tools that God has blessed you with, you should intend to do the best job you can, whatever tools you bring into the party. And then save a little out of each paycheck, stop by the tool store on the way home. When you get a tax refund or a windfall or you sell a motorcycle, by the way, go ahead and sell your motorcycles and change them into tools if you can. I recommend it. But however you do it, when you buy a tool, buy the best ones that you can afford. Take as good a care of them as you can in order to produce the work that your family needs you to produce in order to provide for them what they ought to have. That's what tools are for. Thanks for watching Essential Craftsman. Keep up the good work.